This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Steve Jones Show. This is Todd Hummel. We are sponsored by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. You'd think I've been doing this for a year that those freaking sponsors would come quicker to my head, for heaven's sakes. We got Matt Cotrillo today at 1:15. He'll be calling in. Matt says he doesn't have much to be wound up about, but we'll see about that. And then at 2:05, Neil Coulong joins us to discuss the Steelers. And, of course, big game this week. The Steelers and the Ravens face off on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We should have a couple good shows the rest of the week for you after today. Wednesday, Tim Newton, Purdue football play-by-play voice, will be with us at 1:35. Dave Spadaro on the Eagles at 2:35.
Yes.
John Sauber will join us at 1:09 on Thursday, and Bull Smoke on the Ravens at 2:35.
Big week. Excuse me. The Matt will be on in a few moments, right?
Yes. He seems mellow this week.
Well, they keep playing easy teams that are easy pickings. I mean, what the heck? I mean, it's not exactly a taxing schedule the Eagles are playing here. Yeah. This is where they were the year they went to the Super Bowls like this. I thought their schedule that year stunk. It's just like, okay. Then the Super Bowl got into a tough game, and in the last quarter and a half couldn't handle it. So, I don't know. My question is, who in the NFC can beat the Eagles right now? I think it's an interesting question. Who in the NFC can beat the Eagles? Not sure there's any, who would that be? Minnesota just won a game all on field goals. Detroit's really good. In fact, I think Detroit could outmuscle the Eagles and beat them, to be honest with you. I think Detroit's the best. I think Detroit might be the best team in the NFL at this hour.
I'm trying to come up with another one, and I can't come up with any other one than Detroit right now.
I mean, we'll see what the 49ers are like now they have McCaffrey back.
But yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we'll take a break. Mr. Wonderful joins us in a moment. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sun, ride with the sun, Sunbury Motors.
Hi, I'm Kyle Mertz, and I am the sun. Let's see where Sunbury Motors can save you the most money in the small SUV segment. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has unbelievable finance rates that will save you thousands in interest payments. Choose from over 50 new Hyundai Tucsons with 0% financing for 48 months or 1.99% for 60 months. Sunbury Motors Ford has $4,000 off plus 0% APR for 36 months on 2024 Ford Escapes and $4,100 off plus 3.9% APR for 36 months on 2024 Ford Bronco Sports. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf has incredible savings on 2025 Kia Sportages. Save over $1,500 plus get 1.9% APR for 60 months on 24 in-stock Sportages to choose from. So, what's the takeaway here? Sunbury Motors will save you the most money on your next small SUV, whether you're interested in over 50 in-stock Hyundai Tucsons, Ford Escapes, or Bronco Sports, or a new Kia Sportage.
Sunbury.
have you with us, brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Elmo's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. And time now to bring in our version of Mr. Wonderful.
I'll take that as a compliment.
No, it's all right. All excited about the MVP vote?
Actually, I mean, is he deserving of it? Yes, but to be honest with you, not really, actually, after Game 5. So, for the first time ever, no, I'm
game
not.
Game 5? How about, like, all of them?
Well, yes, but especially Game 5, but yeah.
How about all of them?
All of them? Game 3.
Okay? I mean, I showed up more than he did.
Yes, I agree, 100%. So, no, I'm not, actually.
All right, there you go. Okay. MVP goes to somebody who, when the lights are the brightest, when the leaves fall, so does he.
And that doesn't say that he can't get better at that, but obviously it has much to be desired so far.
Okay, he's 30-something years old, though. I mean, at some point. Right? And not only that, here's the bothersome part about your guy. Bothersome part about your guy is this. It's a large sample size. That's the problem. It's the sample size is not small any longer.
Hey, listen, at this point, I'm just trying to keep the faith.
Sure.
But you're not wrong, I can tell you that.
Well, I know, that's why I said it.
Exactly.
Right. And your football team, playing America's easiest schedule, keeps winning.
Just got to take care of business, but this week, Thursday night is a big test.
Thursday night's a big test, game.
And as impressive as a win it was, just taking care of business after a sloppy start, I still think that the quarterback and the offensive line need to be better in this game than they were against Dallas on Sunday, especially the offensive line. I mean, they quietly gave up 5 sacks, 3 of them in the first half. You can't do that against Washington on Thursday night.
Oh, no. I'll say this, too. Daniels he's an interesting player. I think he's really good. I give him a lot of credit for what he's done so far. I think he presents the Philadelphia defense with a dilemma because they haven't really faced anybody that can move the way he does.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I thought he would be a good quarterback. I didn't think he would make this big a splash this early in his rookie season, but I thought he could have potential to be a good quarterback, and yeah, I give him a lot of credit. He has been really, really impressive, and the Eagles definitely are going to have their toughest test on defense, and the defense has been lights out during this 5-game win streak. But this is another game, too, where the defensive line has to get after it, has to be disciplined. The linebackers need to continue their good play as well. Bond, Dean, all those guys have to be on their A game if they're gonna win this thing, because Daniels is going to be a handful.
And McLaurin's a handful. McLaurin's a good player at wide receiver. They have a decent running game. Their defense is good. There are very few teams that can challenge Philadelphia in the NFC right now. Detroit's the one that can challenge them, which is interesting, especially up front. Detroit up front offensively. I mean, suddenly Jalen Carter's going to be like, oh, so this is the NFL.
And he also needs to watch it, too. There were a couple times where he was in at the end of the play, and I'm just thinking, dude, just get back in the huddle. Just get back in the huddle and move on to the next play.
But I agree.
I think Detroit and the Eagles are pretty much it right now. It's just strange. This is like the strangest 7-2, 5-game win streak where you feel good about everything else, but obviously not the head coach. Now, he was okay on Sunday. He didn't do anything egregious to me. And I was even flabbergasted that he pulled the starters when he did. I couldn't believe it. He actually made a smart move to rest guys when you've got a game on Thursday and you're up 34-6 in the fourth quarter. I thought that was pretty unbelievable right there. But it is strange thinking that this team is 7-2, but it doesn't feel like 7-2 because of all the issues that you've had with the head coach this year. But as far as the game goes for Thursday night, the other big thing that the Eagles have an advantage in this game, and they've got to do it early and often, and they got away from it again against Dallas, which I think was part of the issues why they had the problems that they did in the first quarter with the two turnovers, is you've got to run the football. Washington's run D actually isn't that great. That's probably the one Achilles heel that they have. So the Eagles early and often need to pound this team with Saquon Barkley so you protect the football, you protect Jalen Hurts, and you slow down that pass rush of Washington, and you keep their off Jaden Daniels and their offense off the field. The Eagles have got to run the football and stay with it early and often in this game.
So what's the big difference between MVPs, Aaron Judge and Joel Embiid? Right? The biggest difference is Judge actually plays.
Yes, that is correct.
Embiid is playing tonight.
Yes. So
it's his opener.
That's pretty much the one gripe that I haven't really gotten into yet. And there's fault on both sides. Obviously, we've talked about Joel Embiid being in and out of shape. That's completely on him. But at the same time, though, what transpired between him and Marcus Hayes, the Philadelphia Inquirer columnist, a couple things on that front. First of all, I still don't think you can at least in-game, you can't fully question Embiid's effort at all because of many of the injuries that he's played through, especially in the playoffs. And I think Marcus Hayes was forgetting that when he made those comments that he did in that column last week. But secondly, about Marcus Hayes in general, for those that don't know, because I hear him at all the press conferences and sports radio and seeing his writing and whatnot, this guy is the very definition of why the Philadelphia media gets a bad rap. This guy just has lazy criticisms because he just wants to make it known for himself and just get after the teams because he knows that he has the ability to with his columns. This guy doesn't get it at all. This guy has been a menace within the Philadelphia sports medium. He's always had this type of get after the everybody attitude and always negative and everything else, and just always was always very arrogant when he deals with coaches and players, and he crossed the line with that column as well. If you want to mention about Joel Embiid's son and the reason why he's behind his motivation, this like that, and then you criticize him, I can deal with that. But once you bring in a dead relative, especially with the way it happened, then I'm sorry. That's journalism integrity 101, a 101 right there. And he fully crossed the line. This guy deserves to be fired. He shouldn't be in this business anymore. Enough's enough with him. And I thought it was actually a joke that Joel Embiid got the 3-game suspension. If you want to slap on the wrist, maybe with one or a hefty fine, then fine. Because I get it. You still can't push a media member over. It's unprofessional. I understand that. But when a guy crosses the line, all bets are off, and I think Joel Embiid got hosed a little bit, and it was wrong to give him that 3-game suspension because this guy is getting absolutely nothing back when he should be punished. He shouldn't have a job right now.
He speaks highly of you.
Maybe he's the only person that he speaks highly of. He never speaks highly of anybody else.
What they should have done with Joel Embiid, instead of suspending him, they really should have penalized him. I mean, penalized him hard. They should have made him play 3 games in a row.
I mean, and then there's the way that the Sixers have handled this, too. To me, the NBA should be fining the Sixers even more heavily because guess what? Actually, they do. I hope they do, because then maybe Josh Harris actually can't afford to keep 5,000 different professional teams, and maybe he'll give up the Sixers and we can actually get a real owner for once. Oh, I'm sorry, did I say that? But regardless of the idiot that runs the Sixers, that is Josh Harris, the Sixers overall have done this from day one, where they just have chose to not be truthful and just play games with the media, with the fan base about Joel Embiid's health. And we find again with this NBA investigation that there is some sort of issue with his left knee. We still don't know exactly where it is or when it happened. I bet you we'll all get out it happened during the Olympics when I said he should not have played in the Olympics. He should be focusing on getting right for the Sixers season so we can play a full season. But this has always been a twofold issue. It's Joel Embiid and his effort in terms of trying to stay in shape. Maybe in his off season, you know, day conditioning, whatever. I'm not questioning his effort in the game itself. And then there's what's been the untruthfulness of the organization of and the way they've handled this too. Now you've got Tyrese Maxey out for a little bit. Paul George, the way he started with the Sixers is exactly what I thought it would be, and I thought it was a waste of a signing for the Sixers as well. I was in the minority there. I'm already tired of this team, Steve, and I barely watched a quarter, let alone a full game yet.
Todd, just a quick question for you. Did he take a breath at all during that?
No.
Really kind of amazing.
Todd knew I was ready to go right from the get-go.
He was early today.
True. Yes. Is there anything else that's bothering you?
Like I said, this has been a pretty light week. You know, obviously the Yankees are done, the Eagles are playing well. This thing with the Sixers was pretty much it. I have an issue with my fave Mitch Koff being a healthy scratch for a couple of days too, but that was just John Tortorella being his typical, you know, hard nosed self that the Flyers don't need in a head coach right now when you're trying to rebuild. But that's about it. It's been the same old story with the Flyers. So
seemed to work last night. He scored both and had two goals.
Big gripe I had this week.
Mitch Koff had two goals last night. It seemed to at least it worked for one game.
It did, but I don't think he really needed to. He's a rookie, first time playing the NHL. He's going to have bad games. The Flyers are still not going to be a great team despite him there. He doesn't need to have Tortorella try to pound it in him to send a message. This kid knows how to play hockey. He's going to have bad games. He's a rookie. He'll be fine. He probably had the two goals to do it in spite of his head coach to spit back saying, "You shouldn't have sat me because I'm already making a difference on this team already." You don't need to send this kid a message. He's fine. Leave him alone. Let him play. Let him figure out the league himself. Enough with the hard-nosed stuff of John Tortorella. I just can't stand that about it. And that's really been the Flyers' issue. For the reason why they haven't won a cup in four decades. The Flyers have to get out of this Broad Street Bullies mentality. It doesn't work in the NHL anymore. This is not 1975.
So let me just do a quick poll from you. Okay. John Tortorella, would you fire him?
Absolutely. I wanted to fire him in the first place.
Nick Nurse, would you fire him?
No, I think Nick Nurse is in a very tough spot. I wanted him as coach as soon as the Sixers made the move from Doc Rivers. He deserves to stay. He's in a bad spot right now. He's got bad management. I'd rather fire the owner than him.
Aaron Boone, would you fire him?
Yes, I would not have brought him back, but I knew that was going to happen. He does not hold his players accountable. It's a big reason why the Yankees had the falling out that they did in the World Series.
Nick Sirianni, would you fire him?
Yes, hands down. The Eagles are 7-2 despite him. We've talked about that numerous times.
So three out of four coaches of your teams you'd fire.
That's correct.
You sure George Steinbrenner wasn't in East Stroudsburg 30 years ago?
Ooh, I'm wondering.
He might have been, but I read several books about him. I miss him, I tell you that. And he'd be rolling in his grave right now.
No, I met him.
And I tell you what, I don't know if Aaron Boone would be manager right now if he were still alive, to be honest with you.
So, have your kids started throwing stuff at the TV because that's what Daddy does?
No, but Mark's fully now can say, fire Nick Sirianni.
It's always great when the kids' first words are that. Oh, my goodness, Mark can speak.
Still waiting for John Paul to make his return.
Oh, he'll be back shortly.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We just heard from Matt Cotrillo. Neil Coulong joins us at 2:05 to talk a little Steelers and some NFL. Tomorrow we will have the Purdue play-by-play guy on, and Dave Spadaro on about the Eagles.
Yeah, it's Tim Newton, by the way.
Tim Newton. I had Tim. All right. I didn't have Newton.
It's okay.
Yeah. Then John Sauber and why did I forget who the other person was?
It doesn't matter. These are all people Matt wants fired.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about all of them, but
no, all of them. I mean, literally. I mean, Matt. I mean, you, me, everybody. I'm just telling you. It's an issue.
He does like the lash, doesn't he?
Oh, tell you right now, imagine being his kid. Mm-hmm. Daddy wants me fired from kindergarten. You think I'm kidding?
Sometimes I wonder.
Every day with him, I do. Well, I was talking yesterday about the playoff part of this, and that we're getting games now, like every weekend, there are true games of significance, which the last few years, especially the college football playoff, you felt for the most part it was a march toward the inevitable. How about that? Okay. So I don't know what that means. I just felt like every year they were concentrating at 6, maybe 7 teams. Everybody else was kind of like left behind. Well, you know, now we're talking about 20 teams. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about 25 of them. Where they are, what they're doing. You know, who they're playing, what the matchup happens to be. I think that just has made a huge difference in the interest in the game. Now, look, are there parts of all this that people struggle with? Yeah, let's be honest. Do the fans struggle with NIL? Sure they do. Do they struggle with the transfer portal? Sure they do. Do they struggle with, you know, for example, I'll give you one, Fox, Big Noon Kickoff? Sure they do. But is there more interest in the games? Yeah. More than ever. And it's reflected in the millions that are watching these things. I mean, millions. And that's what, you know, they were hoping for when they did this. Now, it's more football for everybody, but you don't mind if you're playing more football if you're playing for stakes. I remember how Randy called the show last week?
I believe.
And asked about bowl games. Well, the college football playoff is the bowl game. Okay? And then you want to keep playing other bowl games. You want to win your college football playoff game and play in either the Sugar, the Fiesta, the Peach, or the Rose Bowls on right around New Year's Day. I don't know which one gets the New Year's Eve spot. Right? But you want to be playing then. That is, you know, that's the next step, and it turns out, quote, it is a bowl game. It's a completely different system, but it's a system that should have been in place decades ago. And that's the part that that's always been galling, that it took so long to get to here. But now that we're here, what a great system. I love the fact that there's going to be home games. I think eventually, once this contract runs out and they start a new in 26, I wouldn't be surprised that there are 14 with two byes. Yeah. And probably four automatic qualifiers from each of the Big Ten and the SEC. But this, the interest in it, every weekend there are games with stakes, and I'm not just talking about, you know, okay, they're all ranked when they do this. Let's see, so let's go through here, right? Okay, Texas is 8-1, they're playing at Arkansas. Okay, now we all know Penn State's at Purdue, we know Ohio State's at Northwestern. Texas is at Arkansas. Arkansas has already knocked off Tennessee, so let's see. Clemson, Pitt, one team falls into the three-loss pool. Now, neither team is close to getting in. But the idea of that game is, does one of the two, the winner of this game, does the winner of this game put itself in a position to play for the ACC title? Right? Utah, Colorado. Colorado's 7-2. They're trying to get to the Big 12 title game. And again, that brings with it an automatic bid if you win it. Okay. Alabama's got Mercer. Notre Dame, look, as a complete at-large, they need to win the game. They lose to Virginia, and Virginia just beat Pitt, by the way. Right? If Notre Dame loses to Virginia, they have two losses. I think they're out of it.
That was going to be my next question. Can Notre Dame ever afford two losses being an independent?
Well, they can afford two losses unless one of them is to Northern Illinois.
Well, that's true.
Okay, that's the issue. SMU, they've got Boston College, so Bill's going to take his team down to Dallas. And SMU's 8-1. They're trying to get to the ACC title game. It's going to be interesting to see where they're ranked tonight, because they were 13 last week. LSU and Florida are both out of it. Okay. Louisville and Stanford plays. Louisville's out of it. Okay. Missouri, they have two losses, but they're way back in the pack. They play at South Carolina. Well, if South Carolina wins, Missouri's out of it. Big 12, here's one for you. Arizona State, Kansas State. The winner still has two losses. The loser has three and is done. Tennessee plays Georgia. We all know the stakes there. If Georgia loses, they're a three-loss team. They are not getting in. Oh, no, it's Georgia. No, they would have three losses. You cannot look at a three-loss Georgia team and put them in over a two-loss anybody else. Can't.
I mean, for them to get in, they'd probably have to replace a two-loss SEC team as well, you know.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Texas A&M, they're going to play New Mexico State. They're a prohibitive favorite. They should have no trouble with New Mexico State. But Texas A&M still has Texas. For the first time in, what, 14 years? Here's a very quiet one for you. Very, very quiet. But the only way they can get in, is if Boise State falls. And that's 8-1 Washington State. I don't think people realize they're 8-1. You know who their only loss is to?
Boise, isn't it?
Yep, Boise State. Yeah. How about that? Now, again, they're not in the conference. But the Boise State thing would hang over them. And again, I go back to, I don't think Boise, does Boise doesn't play this week, do they? I don't think they do. As a matter of fact, I think Boise has a, finally has a bye week. They played 9 games. No, they're at San Jose State on Saturday. They're at San Jose State. Then they have Wyoming and they have Oregon State. Okay. So those are their last three. San Jose State, Wyoming, that'll be in Laramie. I'm sure it'll be balmy. And then they're at home to take on Oregon State. Here's the part that's interesting when it comes to that. And I mentioned this yesterday, but I'll reiterate it. What if the Big 12 champ is, say, I don't know, Colorado? Okay, let's just play along here a little bit. And what if the ACC champ is Clemson? The door is open to the possibility that Boise State would be ranked higher than one of them. And guess what that means? As the group of five, they'd be the choice of the group of five, they'd get the first round bye. And whomever the other champion is, Big 12 or ACC, that would be behind them in the poll, would have to play the first round. And might have to play the first round on the road. How about that thought?
I'm not sure I realized Arizona State was still so eligible, I guess.
No, Arizona State only has 2 losses, right?
Yeah, they're 4-2. Colorado's 5-1 in the conference. BYU's still undefeated.
Yeah. BYU, I mean, no offense, they shouldn't be undefeated, but that's all right. It's a different story. But BYU, Colorado, right now, if they played it today, which they won't, would be the championship game in the Big 12. Because BYU's 6-0, Colorado's 5-1 in conference play, Iowa State, Kansas State, Arizona State, West Virginia are all 4-2. Yes, West Virginia is 4-2. Believe it or not. In conference, they're 5-4 overall. I mean, West Virginia's finally has its, quote, acting gear. Beat Arizona, beat Cincinnati.
It is kind of funny how it looks like last year for them, doesn't it?
All right, they've won their last 3. They beat Texas Tech. They beat Oklahoma State. They beat Arizona. They beat Cincinnati. All right. I mean, they've won their last couple of games. Close. They won by a total of 12 points, but they won. They got Baylor this week. And Baylor and West Virginia both have the same record, and they're going to play at 4 o'clock on Saturday in Morgantown. Those would be the top 2 teams, BYU and Colorado, playing for the Big 12 title. BYU's won 9 in a row. They're 9-0, and Colorado's won 3 in a row. So it's Colorado here. Colorado this week has Utah. So they got Utah. Let's see. And Colorado, their last loss was that 3-point loss to Kansas State. Since then, they clobbered Arizona, beat Cincinnati relatively close, and came from behind, beat Texas Tech. And Shador has thrown for nearly 3,000 yards, 2,882, only with 24 touchdowns, only 6 interceptions. That's pretty impressive.
I was reading something today about, you know, Carson Beck's struggles has kind of taken him out of the number one quarterback in the draft next year, that they think maybe Shador doesn't quite have the arm that he does, but with his accuracy and stuff, that, you know, he might be back to being the first quarterback taken next year.
Well, Carson Beck has a couple of issues. One is, let's start with this. Georgia doesn't have a running game. They are ranked 15th out of 16 in the SEC in rushing. I don't think a lot of people realize that.
Especially since they got ETN in the transfer portal, but he's been banged up most of the year.
Exactly, but that's what a lot of people don't realize. They really struggle running the ball. And Beck has just thrown a boatload of interceptions. He's got 17 touchdowns. He's got 12 interceptions. 12.
We were talking yesterday about the NFL and the interceptions. Maybe that'll fit him right in.
Yeah, perfect. What has Georgia played? Nine games? We played nine games?
I think so.
Okay. This is, let me just do this on a per game thing so everybody knows. All right. Georgia this year is averaging 124 yards per game rushing. Surprise, surprise. How about that?
That's not good if you have national championship aspirations.
Right, exactly. That's a big issue. That's a big issue. And ETN's done fine. He's got 477 yards, 5 yards per carry, but when you're only averaging 124 yards per game rushing, which is not what you expect a Georgia team to have. And you have a quarterback that's turnover prone, you have an issue. It's interesting how you can watch a game, and that's, quote, the time you see a team. Well, most of the country watched them play Texas, and they dismantled Texas. So everyone thought, well, okay, Georgia, they're playing great. They got two losses. They lost at Alabama. Now, they fell way behind, came back, took the lead, then lost on the long pass play. And then, of course, their other loss, which to Ole Miss, which surprised some people, but not, let's give Ole Miss credit. I mean, Ole Miss has kind of been forgotten after they lost that game to Kentucky. They've been kind of in the background because they have two losses. But you know what? They're going to go 10-2. Their schedule is, their schedule's a home free.
Was that on TV anywhere while you were, or before the game on Saturday night, Alabama and Ole Miss?
Yeah, I watched it before I went over.
I was going to say, did you see the weather? My heavens!
Oh yeah, it was awful. Yeah, it was awful. But yeah, I mean that's. I'm trying to think if Ole Miss has a. I don't think they have a bye this week. They very well may. Just see Ole Miss because they've already played 10 games. They probably have a bye. And they do. They play Florida. That game will be in Gainesville on the 23rd. Then they have Mississippi State on the Friday, on Black Friday at 3:30 in the afternoon, the Egg Bowl game. It's not going to be Thanksgiving night. It's going to be on Friday afternoon at 3:30. So they're in a great spot. Interesting.
I mean, going back to after the Peach Bowl, we kind of thought they had a chance, but like yes, you said, that Kentucky game, it really seemed that would be the end of them. But
right, and then they lost to Arkansas in Fayetteville. They lost by, excuse me, actually it wasn't, they lost to, heck, they lose to, lost to Kentucky, which you're right. What was the other loss they had?
Bama, wasn't it?
Was it Alabama?
I think so.
Let's see. Beat Arkansas by a billion. Oklahoma, they won. Lost to LSU in overtime.
Okay, that's a... Yeah, 29-26.
Yeah. And then, of course, the other loss was at Kentucky by 3. So they've lost by a total of 6 points. And they're slowly but surely, they're back in it. I think they get a decent ranking out of it tonight. They came into the game with Georgia 16. I wouldn't doubt that they're 9-10. I don't know. Right around there.
I'm interested to see if they ding BYU at all.
Boy, the BYU thing. That's interesting.
I mean, a spot or two, I doubt it's like going to drop them out of the top 12
right,
or anything.
Right. No, I mean, they're undefeated. They've got Kansas this week, which, by the way, is Kansas coming off its best game of the season when they beat Iowa State. Kansas actually won two of their last three. No, no. I mean, the game's in Provo, and we should be able to watch it. Because it's 10:15 at night. Interesting. I haven't really watched BYU. Have you seen BYU play this year? I haven't.
Maybe 2 minutes on Saturday night right before I went to bed.
Yeah, I didn't see any.
But
yeah,
that was about it.
I didn't see any of it the other night. I mean, I didn't get back till 1 in the morning. I was like, okay. It's kind of...
Actually, if you'd have sat down and flipped on the TV, you probably could have watched the end of it. They were just starting the fourth quarter when I went to bed a little after one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was a little tired. So I will admit I was a little tired. I'm like, okay.
It wasn't a scintillating game. It probably would have put you to sleep anyway.
But, yeah. But I doubt they do anything to them. I think they'll just take the result, but... That for Utah, that's a hard way to lose. That's a very hard way to lose. So, oh, well. You know.
It kind of summarizes their season this year.
Yeah, in a lot of ways. All right. Half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Marcus Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com and News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.